All the things that are to be desired are not to be compared with thee. Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 15. The understanding lays aside its corrupt reasonings and cavils and its prejudices against Christ and his ways. It is now past questioning and determines for Christ against all the world. It concludes it is good to be here and sees such a treasure in this field, such a value in this pearl, as is worth all. Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. Oh, here is the richest prize that ever man was offered. Here is the most sovereign remedy that ever mercy prepared. He is worthy of my esteem, worthy of my choice, worthy of my love, worthy to be embraced, adored, admired, forevermore. Revelation 5:12. I approve of his articles. His terms are righteous and reasonable, full of equity and mercy. Again, the will resigns. It stands no longer wavering, but is peremptorily determined. Lord, thy love hath overcome me. Thou hast won me, and thou shalt have me. Come in, Lord. To thee I freely open. I consent to be saved in thine own way. Thou shalt have anything. Nay, have all. Let me have but thee. The memory gives up to Christ. Lord, here is a storehouse for thee. Out with this trash. Lay in the treasures. Let me be a repository of thy truth, thy promises, thy providences. The conscience comes in. Lord, I will ever side with thee. I will be thy faithful registrar. I will warn when the sinner is tempted, and smite when thou art offended. I will witness for thee, and judge for thee, and guide into thy ways, and will never let sin have quiet in this soul. The affections also come to Christ. Oh, says love, I am sick for thee. Oh, says desire, now I have what I sought for. Here is the desire of nations. Here is bread for me, and balm for me, all that I want. Fear bows the knee with awe and veneration. Welcome, Lord, to thee will I pay my homage. Thy word and rod shall command my actions. Thee will I reverence and adore. Before thee will I fall down and worship. Grief likewise puts in, Lord, thy displeasure and thy dishonor, thy people's calamities, and mine own iniquities shall be what shall set me a-weeping. I will mourn when thou art offended. I will weep when thy cause is wounded. Anger likewise comes in for Christ. Lord, nothing so enrages me as my folly against thee. What I should be so besotted as to hearken to the flatteries of sin and the temptations of Satan against thee. Hatred too will side with Christ. I protest my mortal enmity to thine enemies, that I will never be a friend to thy foes. I vow to eternal quarrel with every sin. I will give no quarter. I will make no peace. Thus let all your powers yield to Jesus Christ. Again, you must give up your whole interest to him. If there is anything that you keep back from Christ, it will be your undoing. Luke 14:33. Unless you will forsake all in preparation and resolution of your heart, you cannot be his disciple. You must hate father and mother, yea, and your own life also, in comparison with him, and as far as it stands in competition with him. In a word, you must give him yourself and all that you have without reservation, or else you can have no part in him. 9. Choose the laws of Christ as the rule of your words, thoughts, and actions. This is the true convert's choice. But here remember these three rules. 1. You must choose them all. There is no getting to heaven by a partial obedience. It is not enough to take up the cheap and easy part of religion, and let alone the duties that are costly and self-denying, and oppose the interests of the flesh. You must take all or none. A sincere convert, though he makes conscience of the greatest sins and weightiest duties, yet he makes true conscience of little sins and of all duties. 2. You must choose Christ's laws for all times, for prosperity and adversity. A true convert is resolved in his course. He will stand to his choice and will not set his back to the wind and be of the religion of the times. I have stuck to thy testimonies. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even to the end. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. I will have respect to thy statutes continually. Psalm 119. 3. This must be done deliberately and understandingly. The disobedient son said, I go, sir, but he went not. How fairly did they promise, all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, we will do it. And it is likely they meant what they said. But when it came to the trial, it was found that there was not such a heart in them as to do what they had promised. Deuteronomy 5, verses 27 and 29. If you would be sincere in closing with the laws in the ways of Christ, study the meaning and breadth and extent of them. Remember that they are spiritual. They reach the very thoughts and inclinations of the heart, so that if you will walk by this rule, your very thoughts and inward motions must be under government. Again, they are very strict and self-denying, quite contrary to your natural inclinations. You must take the straight gate, the narrow way, and be content to have the flesh curbed from the liberty it desires. In a word, they are very large, for thy commandment is exceedingly broad. Psalm 119, verse 96. Do not rest in general commands, for there is much deceit in them, but bring down your heart to the particular commands of Christ. Those Jews in the prophet seemed as well resolved as any in the world, and called God to witness that they meant as they said. But they rested in generals. When God's command crosses their inclinations, they will not obey. Jeremiah 42, verses 1 through 6, and chapter 43, verse 2. Take the Westminster Assembly's larger catechism and see their excellent and most comprehensive exposition of the commandments, and put your heart to it. Are you resolved in the strength of Christ to set upon the conscientious practice of every duty that you find to be required of you, and to set against every sin that you find to be forbidden? This is the way to be sound in God's statutes, that you may never be ashamed. Psalm 119, verse 80. Observe the special duties that your heart is most against, and the special sins that it is most inclined to, and see whether it be truly resolved to perform the one and forego the other. What do you say to your bosom sin, your profitable sin? What do you say to costly, hazardous, and self-displeasing duties? If you halt here and do not resolve, by the grace of God, to cross the flesh and be in earnest, you are unsound. 10. Let all this be completed in a solemn covenant between God and your soul. Set apart some time, more than once, to be spent in secret before the Lord, and seeking earnestly His special assistance and gracious acceptance of you, and searching your heart whether you are sincerely willing to forsake all your sins and to resign yourself, body and soul, unto God and His service, to serve Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of your life. Compose your spirit into the most serious frame possible, suitable to a transaction of so high importance. Lay hold on the covenant of God and rely on His promise of giving grace and strength by which you may be enabled to perform your promise. Do not trust to your own strength, to the strength of your own resolutions, but take hold on His strength. Being thus prepared, on some convenient time set apart for the purpose, enter upon the work, and solemnly, as in the presence of the Lord, fall down on your knees, and spreading forth your hands toward heaven, open your heart to the Lord, and these or the like words, O most holy God, for the passion of thy Son, I beseech thee, accept thy poor prodigal now, prostrating himself at thy door. I have fallen from thee by mine iniquity, and am by nature a son of death, and a thousandfold more the child of hell by wicked practice. But of thine infinite grace thou hast promised mercy to me in Christ, if I will but turn to thee with all my heart. Therefore, upon the call of thy gospel I am now come in, and throwing down my weapons, submit myself to thy mercy. And because thou requirest as the condition of my peace with thee that I should put away my idols, and be at defiance with all thine enemies, which I acknowledge, I have wickedly sided against thee. I here from the bottom of my heart renounce them all, firmly covenanting with thee not to allow myself in any known sin, but conscientiously to use all the means that I know thou hast prescribed for the death and utter destruction of all my corruptions. And whereas formerly I have inordinately and idolatrously set my affections upon the world, I do here resign my heart to thee, who madest it, humbly declaring before thy glorious majesty that it is the firm resolution of my heart, and that I do unfeignedly desire grace from thee, that when thou shalt call me hitherto, I may practice this my resolution through thy assistance, to forsake all that is dear unto me in this world, rather than to turn from thee to the ways of sin, and that I will watch against all its temptations, whether of prosperity or adversity, lest they should withdraw my heart from thee. I beseech thee also to help me against the temptations of Satan, to whose wicked suggestions I resolve by thy grace never to yield myself a servant. And because my own righteousness is as filthy rags, I renounce all my confidence therein, and acknowledge that I of myself am a hopeless, helpless, undone creature without righteousness or strength. And forasmuch as thou hast of thy bottomless mercy offered most graciously to me, a wretched sinner, to be again my God through Christ, if I will accept thee, I call upon heaven and earth to record this day that I do here solemnly avouch thee for the Lord my God, and with all possible veneration, bowing the neck of my soul under the feet of thy most sacred majesty. I do here take thee, the Lord Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for my portion and chief good, and do give myself body and soul to be thy servant, promising and vowing to serve thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. And since thou hast appointed the Lord Jesus Christ the only means of coming to thee, I do here solemnly join myself in a marriage covenant to him. O blessed Jesus, I come to thee hungry and thirsty, poor and wretched, miserable, blind and naked, a most loathsome polluted wretch, a guilty condemned malefactor, unworthy to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord, much more to be solemnly married to the King of Glory. But such is thine unparalleled love, I do here with all my power accept thee, and do take thee for my head and husband, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for all times and conditions, to love, honor, and obey thee before all others, and this to the death. I embrace thee in all thine offices, I renounce mine own worthiness, and do here avow thee to be the Lord my righteousness. I renounce my own wisdom, and do here take thee for my only guide. I renounce my own will, and take thy will for my law. And since thou hast told me that I must suffer if I will reign, I do here covenant with thee to take my lot as it falls with thee, and by thy grace assisting to run all hazards with thee. Verily, supposing that neither life nor death shall part between thee and me. And because thou hast been pleased to give me thy holy laws as the rule of my life in the way in which I should walk to thy kingdom, I do here willingly put my neck under thy yoke, and set my shoulder to thy burden. In subscribing to all thy laws as holy, just, and good, I solemnly take them as the rule of my words, thoughts, and actions, promising that though my flesh contradict and rebel, yet I will endeavor to order and govern my whole life to thy direction, and will not allow myself to neglect anything that I should know to be my duty, only because through the frailty of my flesh I am subject to many failings. I am bold humbly to request that unintentional shortcomings, contrary to the settled bent on resolution of my heart, shall not make void this covenant. For so thou hast said, Now, Almighty God, searcher of hearts, thou knowest that I make this covenant with thee this day, without any known guile or reservation, beseeching thee that if thou espisest any flaw or falsehood therein, thou wouldst reveal it to me, and help me to do it aright. And now, O God the Father, whom I shall be bold from this day forward to look upon as my God and Father, glory be to thee for finding out such a way for the recovery of undone sinners. Glory be to thee, O God the Son, who hast loved me and washed me from my sins in thine own blood, and art now become my Savior and Redeemer. Glory be to thee, O God the Holy Ghost, who by the finger of thine almighty power hast turned about my heart from sin to God. O Most High and Holy Jehovah, the Lord God Omnipotent, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, thou art now become my covenant friend, and I, through thine infinite grace, am become thy covenant servant. Amen. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. This covenant I advise you to make, not only in heart, but in word, not only in word, but in writing, that you would, with all possible reverence, spread it, the writing, before the Lord, as if you would present it to him as your act and deed. And when you have done this, set your hand to it and sign it. Keep it as a memorial of the solemn transaction that have passed between God and you, that you may have recourse to it in doubts and temptations. 11. Take heed of delaying your conversion, but make a speedy and immediate surrender of your heart to God. I made haste and delayed not. Psalm 119, verse 60. Remember and tremble at the sad instance of the foolish virgins who did not come till the door of mercy was shut, and of a convinced Felix who put off Paul to another season, but we do not find that he had another season. O come in while it is called today, lest you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, lest the day of grace should be over, and the things which belong to your peace should be hid from your eyes. Now mercy is wooing you, now Christ is waiting to be gracious to you, and the Spirit of God is striving with you. Now ministers are calling, now conscience is stirring, now the market is open, and oil may be had. You have opportunity for the buying. Now Christ is to be had for the taking. O, strike in with the office of grace. O, now or never. If you make light of this offer, God may swear in his wrath that you shall never taste of his supper. Luke 14:24. 12. Attend conscientiously upon the word as the means appointed for your conversion. Attend, I say, not customarily, but consciously, with this desire, design, hope, and expectation that you may be converted by it. Come to every sermon you hear with this thought, Oh, I hope God will now come in. I hope this day may be the time, this may be the man by whom God will bring me home. When you are coming to the privileges of God's house, lift up your heart to God thus, Lord, let this be the Sabbath, let this be the season in which I may receive renewing grace. Or let it be said that this day such a one was born unto thee. Objection. You will say, I have been a hearer of the word a long time, yet it has not been effectual to my conversion. Answer. Yes, but you have not attended upon it in this manner, as a means of your conversion, nor with this design, nor praying for the expecting the happy effect from it. 13. Strike in with the Spirit when he begins to work upon your heart. When he works convictions, do not stifle them, but join in with him and beg the Lord to give you saving conversion. Quench not the Spirit. Do not reject him. Do not resist him. Beware of stifling convictions with evil company or worldly business. When you are in anguish on account of sin and fears about your eternal state, beg of God that you may have peace only in thoroughly renouncing all sin, loathing it in your inmost soul, and giving your whole heart without reserve to Christ. Say to him, strike home, Lord, do not leave the work half done. Go to the bottom of my corruption and let out the lifeblood of my sins. Thus, yield yourself to the working of the Spirit and hoist your sails to his gusts. 14. Set upon the constant and diligent use of serious and fervent prayer. He that neglects prayer is a profane and unsanctified sinner. He that is not constant in prayer is a hypocrite, unless the omission be contrary to his ordinary course, under the force of some instant temptation. One of the first things conversion appears in is that it sets a man a praying. Therefore, set to this duty. Let not one day pass in which you have not, morning and evening, set apart some time for solemn prayer in secret. Also, call your family together daily and duly to worship God with you. Woe be unto you if you be found among the families that call not upon God's name. Jeremiah 10:25. But cold and lifeless devotions will not reach halfway to heaven. Be fervent and importunate. Importunity will carry it, but without violence the kingdom of heaven will not be taken. You must strive to enter and wrestle with tears and supplications as Jacob, if you would gain the blessing. You are undone forever without grace, and therefore you must set to it and resolve to take no denial. That man who fixed in this resolution says, well, I must have grace, or I will never give over till I have grace. I will never cease earnestly pleading and striving with God in my own heart till he renews me by the power of his grace. 15. Forsake your evil company and forbear the occasions of sin. You will never be turned from sin till you decline and forego the temptations of sin. I never expect your conversions from sin unless you are brought to some self-denial so as to flee the occasions. If you will be nibbling at the bait and playing on the brink and tampering with the snare, your soul will surely be taken. Where God exposes men in his providence unavoidably to temptation, and the occasions are such as we cannot remove, we may expect special assistance in the use of his means. But when we tempt God by running into danger, he will not engage to support us when we are tempted. And of all the temptations, one of the most fatal and pernicious is evil companions. Oh, what hopeful beginnings have these often stifled! Oh, the souls, the states, the families, the towns that these have ruined! How many poor sinners have been enlightened and convinced, and have been just ready to escape the snare of the devil, and have even escaped it, and yet wicked company has pulled them back at last, and made them sevenfold more the children of hell. In a word, I have no hopes of you, except you shake off your evil company. Your life depends upon it. Forsake this, or you cannot live. Will you be worse than the ass of Balaam, to run on when you see the Lord with a drawn sword in the way? let this sentence be written in capitals upon your conscience. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 13:20. The Lord has spoken it, and who shall reverse it? And will you run upon destruction when God himself forewarns you? If God ever changes your heart, it will appear in the change of your company. Oh, fear and flee the gulf by which so many thousands have been swallowed up in perdition. It will be hard for you indeed to make your escape. Your companions will be mocking you out of your religion, and will study to fill you with prejudices against strictness as ridiculous and comfortless. They will be flattering you and alluring you, but remember the warnings of the Holy Ghost. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, cast in thy lot among us, walk thou not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. Proverbs 1, verses 10 through 19, and Proverbs 4, verses 15 through 19. My soul is moved within me to see how many of my hearers and readers are likely to perish, both they and their houses, by this wretched mischief, even the frequenting of such places and company by which they are drawn into sin. Once more I admonish you, as Moses did Israel. Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. Numbers 16, verse 26. Oh, flee from them as you would those that had the plague, sores running in their foreheads. These are the devil's panders and decoys, and if you do not make your escape, they will draw you into perdition and will prove your eternal ruin. 16. Set apart a day to humble your soul in secret by fasting and prayer, to work a sense of your sins and miseries upon your heart. Read over a thorough exposition of the commandments, and write down the duties omitted and sins committed by you against every commandment, and so make a catalogue of your sins, and with shame and sorrow spread them before the Lord. And if your heart be truly willing to the terms, join yourself solemnly to the Lord in that covenant set down in direction 10 of this chapter. And the Lord grant you mercy in his sight. Thus, I have told you what you must do to be saved. Will you now obey the voice of the Lord? Will you arise and set to the work? O man, what answer will you make? What excuse will you have? If you should perish at last through very willfulness, when you have known the way of life, I do not fear your miscarrying, if your own idleness do not at last undo you, in neglecting the use of the means that are so plainly here prescribed. Rouse up, O sluggard, and ply your work. Be doing, and the Lord will be with you. New chapter, page 124. A short soliloquy for an unregenerate sinner. Ah, wretched man that I am, what a condition have I brought myself into by sin. Oh, I see my heart has deceived me all this while in flattering me that my condition was good. I see, I am but a lost and undone man, forever undone, unless the Lord help me out of this condition. My sins, Lord, what an unclean, polluted wretch I am, more loathsome and odious to thee than the most hateful venom and noisome carcass can be to me. Oh, what a hell of sin is in this heart of mine, which I have flattered myself to be a good heart. Lord, how universally am I corrupted in all my parts, powers, performances. All the imaginations of my heart are only evil continually. I am under an inability to, and an aversion from, and in an enmity against anything that is good, and am prone to all that is evil. My heart is a very sink of sin, and oh, the innumerable hosts and swarms of sinful thoughts, words, and actions that have flowed from it. Oh, the load of guilt that is on my soul. My head is full and my heart is full. My mind and my members, they are all full of sin. Oh, my sins, how do they stare at me? Woe is me. My creditors are upon me. Every commandment takes hold upon me for more than 10,000 talents. Yes, 10,000 times 10,000. How endless, then, is the sum of all my debts. If this whole world were filled up from earth to heaven with paper, and all this paper written over within and without by mathematicians, yet when all were added up, it would come inconceivably short of what I owe to the least of God's commandments. Woe unto me, for my debts are infinite, and my sins are increased. They are wrongs to an infinite majesty, and if he that commits treason against a silken mortal is worthy to be racked, drawn, and quartered, what have I deserved that have so often lifted up my hand against heaven, and have struck at the crown and dignity of the Almighty? O, my sins, my sins! Behold, a troop comes, multitudes, multitudes. There is no number of their armies. Innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me. They have set themselves against me. Oh, it were better to have all the regiments of hell come against me than to have my sins fall upon me to the spoiling of my soul. Lord, how am I surrounded? How many are they that rise up against me? They have beset me behind and before. They swarm within me and without me. They have possessed all my powers and have fortified my unhappy soul as a garrison, which this brood of hell mans and maintains against the God that made me. And they are as mighty as they are many. The sands are many, but they are not great. The mountains great, but them they are not many. But woe is me! My sins are as many as the sands, and as mighty as the mountains. Their weight is greater than their number. It were better that the rocks and the mountains should fall upon me than the crushing and unsupportable load of my sins were on me. Lord, I am heavy laden. Let mercy help, or I am gone. Unload me of this heavy guilt, this sinking load, or I am crushed without hope and must be pressed down to hell. If my grief were thoroughly weighed and my sins laid in the balance together, they would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. They would weigh down all the rocks and the hills and turn the balance against all the isles of the earth. O Lord, thou knowest my manifold transgressions and my mighty sins. Ah, my soul, alas, my glory! How are you humbled? Once the glory of the creation and the image of God, now a lump of filthiness, a coffin of rottenness, replenished with stench and loathsomeness. Oh, what work has sin made of you? You shall be termed forsaken, and all the rooms of your faculties desolate, and the name that you shall be called by is Ichabod, or where is the glory? How are you come down mightily? My beauty is turned into deformity, and my glory into shame. Lord, what a loathsome leper am I! The ulcerous bodies of Job or Lazarus were not more offensive to the eyes and nostrils of men than I must needs be to the most holy God, whose eyes cannot behold iniquity. And what misery have my sins brought upon me! Lord, what a state I am in! Sold under sin, cast out of God's favor, accursed from the Lord, cursed in my body, cursed in my soul, cursed in my name, in my estate, my relations, and all that I have. My sins are unpardoned, and my soul within a step of death. Alas, what shall I do? Where shall I go? Which way shall I look? God is frowning on me from above, hell gaping for me beneath, conscience smiting me within, temptations and dangers surrounding me without. Oh, where shall I fly? What place can hide me from omniscience? What power can secure me from omnipotence? What do you mean, O my soul, to go on thus? Are you in league with hell? Have you made a covenant with death? Are you in love with your misery? Is it good for you to be here? Alas, what shall I do? Shall I go on in my sinful ways? Why then, certain damnation will be my end, and shall I be so besotted and mad as to go and sell my soul to the flames for a little ale, or a little ease, for a little pleasure or gain, or comfort to my flesh? Shall I linger any longer in this wretched state? No, if I tarry here I shall die. What then? Is there no help? No hope? None except I turn. Why, but is there any remedy for such woeful misery? Any mercy after such provoking iniquity? Yes, as sure as God's oath is true, I shall have pardon and mercy. Yet, if I presently, unfeignedly, and unreservedly turn by Christ to Him. Why then, I thank Thee upon the bended knees of my soul, O most merciful Jehovah, that Thy patience has waited for me hitherto. For hast Thou taken me away in this state, I have perished forever. And now I adore Thy grace and accept the offers of Thy mercy. I renounce all my sins and resolve by Thy grace to set myself against them, and to follow Thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. Who am I, Lord, that I should make any claim to Thee, or have any part or portion in Thee, who am not worthy to lick up the dust of Thy feet? Yet, since Thou holdest forth the golden scepter, I am bold to come and touch. To despair would be to disparage Thy mercy, and to stand off when Thou biddest me come would be at once to undo myself and rebel against Thee, under pretense of humility. Therefore I bow my soul unto Thee, and with all possible thankfulness accept Thee as mine, and give up myself to Thee as Thine. Thou shalt be sovereign over me, my King and my God. Thou shalt be on the throne, and all my powers shall bow to Thee. They shall come and worship before Thy feet. Thou shalt be my portion, O Lord, and I will rest in Thee. Thou callest for my heart. Oh, that it were any way fit for Thine acceptance. I am unworthy, O Lord, everlastingly unworthy to be Thine. But since Thou wilt have it so, I freely give my heart to Thee. Take it, it is Thine. Oh, that it were better. But, Lord, I put it into Thy hands, who alone canst mend it. Mold it after Thine own heart. Make it as Thou wouldst have it, holy, humble, heavenly, soft, tender, flexible, and write Thy law upon it. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Enter in triumphantly. Take me up for Thyself forever. I give myself to Thee. I come to Thee as the only way to the Father, as the only mediator, the means ordained to bring me to God. I have destroyed myself, but in Thee is my help. Save, Lord, or else I perish. I come to Thee with the rope about my neck. I am worthy to die and to be damned. Never was the hire more due to the servant. Never was penny more due to the laborer than death and hell. My just wages are due to me for my sins. But I fly to Thy merits. I trust alone to the value and virtue of Thy sacrifice and prevalence of Thy intercession. I submit to Thy teaching. I make choice of Thy government. Stand open, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may enter in. O Thou Spirit of the Most High, the Comforter, the sanctifier of thy chosen. Come in with all thy glorious train, all thy courtly attendants, thy fruits and graces. Let me be thine habitation. I can give thee but what is thine own already. But here with the widow I give my two mites, my soul and my body, into thy treasury, fully resigning them up to thee, to be sanctified by thee, to be servants to thee. They shall be thy patients. Cure thou their maladies. They shall be thy agents. Govern thou their actions. Too long have I served the world. Too long have I hearkened to Satan. But now I renounce them all, and will be ruled by thy dictates and directions, and guided by thy counsel. O blessed Trinity, O glorious Unity, I deliver myself up to thee. Receive me. Write thy name, O Lord, upon me and upon all that I have, as thy proper goods. Set thy mark upon me, upon every member of my body, and every faculty of my soul. I have chosen thy precepts. Thy law will I lay before me. This shall be the copy which I will keep in my eye, and study to write after. According to this rule do I resolve, by thy grace, to walk. After this law shall my whole man be governed. And though I cannot perfectly keep one of thy commandments, yet I will allow myself in the breach of none. I know my flesh will hang back, but I resolve in the power of thy grace to cleave to thee and thy holy ways, whatever it cost me. I am sure I cannot come off a loser by thee, and therefore I will be content with reproach and difficulties and hardships here, and will deny myself and take up thy cross and follow thee. Lord Jesus, thy yoke is easy, thy cross is welcome, as it is the way to thee. I lay aside all hopes of a worldly happiness. I will be content to tarry till I come to thee. Let me be poor and low, little and despised here, so I may but be admitted to live and reign with thee hereafter. Lord, thou hast my heart in hand to this agreement. Be it as the laws of the Medes and Persians, never to be reversed. To this will I stand, in this resolution. By thy grace I will live and die. I have sworn and will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I have given my free consent. I have made my everlasting choice. Lord Jesus, confirm the contract. Amen.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail-order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's EDMONTON, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, "which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart," from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, "God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, 'I have not commanded them,' whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. or when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to His commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle was adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying His word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew.